excitement. And Katie's going to be sharing. She's going to be heading to, Katie Perez is going to be heading to Grand Canyon College. Is that what it is? Yeah, Grand Canyon University. Okay, university. It's not a college. I got to get that right. And she's going to share a little bit about her time in Haiti and where she's going and what she's going to be doing. So we've got a big morning. So we just want to thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, that you are the reason, Lord, that we are alive. You're the reason we have breath in our lungs. You're the reason, Lord, that we live. And Lord, today we want to live and move and have our being in you. Lord, we want to exist in you today in our worship. Lord, I pray that today, Lord, as the word is preached and as people are here and they receive, Lord, what you have for them, God, that you would just allow to be touched, allow them to be touched deep in their being, that they would connect with you, Lord, in a significant way. And Lord, that there would be such a presence of you, Lord, that is working in and through our lives, not just in the building, in the environment, Lord, but in our lives, Lord, that when we leave, Lord, that we're changed, that we help, Lord, bring that change, Lord, to others, Lord, who need it desperately in Jesus' name. So my reminder just went off. This week we've got a call from a lady. Her name's Carol. She didn't give any last name, but she is going to be going on Monday for basically before, like, I guess, like a lady that's a council type deal to see if she would be able to get a HUD home. And so she just, I think she was probably calling church and she said, would you please pray for me? So the meeting's at 10:30. So Lord, we pray right now for Carol. Lord, you know where she is. You know those circumstances, Lord, that she is dealing with. And Father, right now, we just pray that you would open up the door for this home. Lord, that it would be a home that she's been needing and desiring, Lord. And we pray, God, that you would honor her, Lord, in looking to you for the answer. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
We invite you to stand if you'd like to.
Amen.
Singing this song reminded me of this passage of verses in Romans 8. It says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Sang about that. "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect?" Right there, that's for you. Who's going to speak against you? No one. Keep that in mind. When you have things in your head that are telling you something contrary to who you are, that's charging you, it has no power. Only if you give it power. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now here we go. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. That's a lot of stuff of this earth. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I want you to know on that list, I want you to tell me what can separate you from love, the love of God. Things present, things in the past, things in the future. Can a principality or power? Can even death? No. God's love is chasing after us. God's love never fails. That really is lightly said. God's love cannot fail. God's love is without failing. And so let's sing this one more time and let's enter into this truth that his love is after us. His love is chasing us. His love wants us.
I'm calling again to God in my
Said something to me, and I've been thinking about it a lot, and this is what was said. I've done so many bad things. How can a good Father or good God forgive me for that? I don't have a right to ask for forgiveness. I mean, I've done a lot of bad stuff, and I've said a lot of bad things. And this was my answer back. If God can forgive a murderer, an adulterer, a liar, a cheat, a pompous man, I mean, the list goes on. Harlot, all of these things, they're all in the Word. If God can forgive that and not forgive you, then all of that Bible is a lie. And God is not a liar. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, where you're at, it doesn't matter to Him. It doesn't. He loves you. And sometimes we don't recognize that love because it's hard to for us to explain that we get it. I mean, we understand it and we feel it. It's ours. It's hard to explain what it might feel like. But to me, this is how it would feel. A void that is always nagging me. Do you know what I mean? Like something, I know there's something there. I know there's something wonderful. But it's just, something's missing. Something is missing. If that's you, you know, we are a more different church than any other church in Yakima. And I say that with pride for the Lord because He's called us to what we're doing right now. But this is all you have to do. This is all. And I'm not kidding. This is all. What you're doing, if it's wrong, turn away from it. God, if you're right, let's go and start walking with them. That's all. You don't have to know scripture. You don't have to say a sinner's prayer, even though if you feel like that's what you need, you can. I'm not saying it's wrong or bad. I'm just saying sin, knowing about sin and being forgiven for sin is just making a 180 turn. That's it. And going away from it. That's all it is. That's what it means. So I encourage you guys, when you think about this song today, And I mean, He's nagging some of you. I know it. When you think about this song today, remind yourself, if He can forgive somebody that's killed a ton of people, He can forgive me. He wants to.
To you are, to you are, to you are.
Thank you. Well, good morning again, and welcome to those who have joined us. Today we're going to, excitingly and with great faith of what the Lord's going to do in these two lives, dedicate Julian and Luna this morning. And before we do that, I just want to let everybody know that after the service, immediately after the service, downstairs, there's a great meal that has been prepared by the mothers and family so that you can enjoy and continue the celebration of the baby dedication. While I'm sharing, if you guys want to come up, any family that wants to join, and if that's everybody of the family, I don't care, because what they're saying is that as family, we honor you guys, and we're going to be there to support these two children. We're going to be there to help them be raised in the fear, the admonition of the Lord, to know who He is, maybe to be there for a flat tire, especially for Luna, right? Flat tires and girls, they don't always work out. Yeah. But maybe Julian will come and help her. I don't know. In the Bible, it talks about, in 1 Samuel, a mother who wanted a baby desperately. And she just was just praying. Yeah, yep. Go ahead and say the name.
Hannah.
And she was, as a matter of fact, you need a mic. Yeah, tag team. I feel weird solo. This is not how we do it anymore. Hannah wanted a baby really bad. She was barren, and she really felt almost like she was being like punished, and she felt like sad for her husband and even mad at her husband because, go ahead.
Well, in those days when Hannah did that, it was a big curse on a woman if she could not bear a child, like there was something wrong with her. Now we know it's, you know, not that way, but honestly, she felt very degraded by the custom of what was happening as she was going month after month, year after year, no baby.
So Hannah went before the Lord, went to Jerusalem, went in the temple, and was praying. And she was praying so hard that the priest who was there thought, Eli goes, well, woman, you should not come into the temple drunk. And the Lord spoke to his heart, that's not what's going on. She's, you know, she's praying earnestly to me. And so she prayed so hard that she went home and she became pregnant. And she became pregnant with Samuel, who later became the greatest prophet probably in all of Israel's time. And so when he became of age, probably we're thinking maybe around 7 years old, when he was old enough to be weaned and, you know, and not scared to be away from mom, he was literally dedicated to the temple. And she left him there because she honored the Lord in fulfilling her desire. Now, I don't want you to leave your babies here.
Please
be really
do
odd.
Not leave your babies here.
That would cause problems, so let's not do that. But the point being is that her heart was so grateful for the gift that God had given her that she gave him to the Lord. And so that's kind of what you guys are doing here today. You're so grateful and thankful for what God has done in your life in these two beautiful gifts. You're dedicating them to the Lord. And so when they get out of hand in the future, because they will, they're yours. You got to give me wisdom to know how to deal with them. Yeah. But remind him that they're theirs, that they're his. And remind yourself sometimes as they get older and maybe out of your control. And just say, Lord, they're yours. I dedicated them to you. I gave them to you. And they're yours. This is a special moment. Well, let's go ahead and do Julian first, okay? Would you extend your hand? We're going to pray for Julian.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah, come on up, Jet. Sorry. Father, we just thank you for this life. Lord, this great gift, Lord, that you have given this family. And Father, right now, we just lay hands on Julian. We dedicate him to you. We dedicate him, Lord, to your service. We dedicate him, Lord, for your blessings. We dedicate him, Lord, for your love. Lord, that love, Lord, that we have experienced, Lord, from you, Lord, let him experience it. Lord, we pray that you would guard and protect him, Lord, from the evils of this life, Lord, that would try to steal, kill, and destroy the plans that you have for him. We speak life over him. We speak the plans and the destiny of God over him. And we thank you, Lord, for a mom and a dad, Lord, that is dedicating him to you, Lord, giving him into your hands and watching, Lord, what you can do with his life. In Jesus' name.
Bless Amen. Mom and dad.
Yeah, we bless the parents right now, Lord, for wisdom, Lord, as they will need wisdom, Lord, to raise this little one. Lord, we pray, God, just for a supernatural wisdom and knowledge, Lord, to know when to say things and maybe sometimes when not to. And Lord, let them exhibit your love. Fill them, Lord, with your love, Lord, not only for their son, Lord, but for themselves, Lord. Let them know your love, Lord, that penetrates all darkness. We release this now into this family in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good stuff. Hey, Luna. You gonna talk?
Oh, yeah. There we go.
There we go. You gonna sing?
In a second.
Yeah. Here we go. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for Luna. Lord, we thank you for her life. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that right now, Lord, even as she's chewing on the mic, Lord, we pray that her food, Lord, would be the food of the word, the food of you speaking to her heart, Lord, as she grows up. Lord, we pray, God, that she would experience, Lord, your presence at a young age and know you, Lord. Lord, and never depart your ways. Lord, let her be safe and secure, Lord, in your love. And Lord, we just thank you, God, that you have a destiny for her. You have a plan for her life. And Lord, that you, God, are going to be the one that's working that plan in her, Lord. And we pray for just an openness. Whoops. Pray for an openness, Lord, in her heart, Lord, to receive what you want to do. Bless her with everything that you have in the heavenlies. And we pray right now, Lord, for Sandra, God, that you would just give her, Lord, your grace. Lord, your grace as a mom, Lord. We pray that you would just give her your strength. And Lord, just encourage your heart right now, just to know that as she's laying Luna just symbolically before you, Lord, and leaving her, Lord, at your temple, God, that you're going to entrust her, Lord, with the care of her, Lord. You're going to give her, Lord, the opportunity, God, to raise her in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And Father, we commit, Lord, as family to both of these families, that we will be there for them when they have need, Lord, when they have questions, Lord. When maybe they need even care for their children, Lord, because something comes up, Lord. Let us be, Lord, the ones that help lift up their arms and bring encouragement to them. We bless this family right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You guys going to... Oh, wait. Something's going on. Oh, yes. The official... Yeah.
This Go ahead. Is done by Sarah Young, and it's like the regular yeah. Jesus calling, but it's for your babies.
So you can read it to them and get it for yourself, too.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. Thank you, family, for coming. I mean, what a great show of honor and love and support. I mean, I honor you guys for doing that. That's amazing. Okay, well, I'm really excited now. I haven't seen you in like a month and a half, right? Really excited. How long? Maybe more? Maybe more, Gaysa. She's been keeping track, so. It feels like forever. Katie, come on up. Katie Perez is... Well, she's been, I remember you since you were little, you know, and she's all grown up, Moses, Gina's not here, but all grown up, and she's heading off for college, Grand Canyon University, yeah, there we go, and that's, Grand Canyon University is in Arizona,
yeah.
It's like, did they put it in the wrong spot, because I thought Grand Canyon was a little higher up, but no, I guess they wanted that name, right? How close are the Grand Canyon are you? 3 hours, yeah, see, so they just wanted that name. It sounds good. a big name for a big college. But she's going there, and I'll let you say what you're going to go there for, and what you did just about a month ago. Was it about a month ago now? Yeah, she went to, I won't tell you, I'll let her tell you. And then we're going to pray for you. Don't go away. Oh, sorry. You should know that by now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hi, my name is Katie. And so last month I went on a mission trip to Haiti for about 10 days we went. And this was my second time going, so I was going back again. And so like the second time that I went, I think it was like even better than my first time, just because I'd already built relationships with the people there and like some of the children and stuff. So like on our trip, when we got there, like some of the kids like remembered my name, and like I wasn't wearing my name tag yet. So it was like really sweet and really special. And so it was really nice to see that like I actually made an impact in these kids' lives the summer before, and that they actually remembered me and they like wanted to hang out with me still. And I'm like, oh, you guys still like me. So it was really special for me, and just like getting to know them even better. And like we did some home visits and stuff, and we actually visited one of the families of like there's this little boy, his name's Evansoon, and then his sister, and like I was really close with both of them. So we actually got to go to like their house and like see where they live and like kind of like meet the family too. So it was like, I don't know, more like intimate and special for me. And so they actually threw a service for the leaders that took us. This was their 32nd year going. And so they built that ministry there, and they like, they set up the dental clinic and the medical clinic there, and they did all that. And so we had a special service, surprise service for them. And so that was really special. And like all the kids were really happy. And that's like one of the times where we like got to meet a lot of the kids' families too, and like got to meet them. And like, it's kind of hard because we don't speak the same language. They speak Creole and we speak English, but VBS was good. We learned a couple songs in Creole, and we like sang to them in like English, and then they sang it back in Creole, and it was like really special. I wish I would have prepared something. I would have shown like a little video of it maybe next time. Yeah. And so, yeah, when I'm back in December. So that's like really, my heart is there in Haiti, and like I would love to go back. And actually my friend, I go with the school, and so I graduated this year, but my friend Camden, he graduated last year. And he wanted to take his own team there, but he couldn't go with the school because he has already graduated. And he actually took a team of only 5 people because no one really trusted him because it was his first time and stuff. But he took a team down there with 5 people, and he did it. And so he invited me back next year to go. So I think I'm going to like keep on returning to like that little village of Terre Blanche and like keep ministering to the people there, especially now that I have like built that relationship even more, and like the kids remember me. And so I think something special that I want to do is like get in touch with like the teen girls there and like get to know them more. And like, because some of them, they're like a mom to like the younger kids, so it's like they're not really as happy as like the younger ones and stuff. So I really want to like start something to help them and like see how like I can like connect with them more. And so I hope next year like I get to go again and like all that works out and stuff, because I want to keep returning back to there and like just keep growing and like spreading God's word there, and not only to Terre Blanche but like to other little villages that are very rural and don't get like have a dental clinic or a medical clinic either. And so yeah, that was like kind of about my Haiti trip. It was fun. And so now next Sunday my parents are taking me and my little brothers to drop me off at Grand Canyon University, where I'll be studying actually I'll actually be going to get my bachelor's in arts in business advertisement and graphic design, and then minor in global ministry. And so I'm really excited to see where God takes me. And I hope that I could get in touch with like some other missionary programs while I'm there too, and not just, I don't know, maybe I go on a couple trips or something. But I know God's going to use me in like amazing ways as long as I keep on trusting in him and like seeing like where he wants me to go and what I want to do, especially because I have a heart for it. Then I know God will use me in the right ways. So I'm excited. I'll be back in at Christmas time, I think. Yeah, my next time back. Okay, yeah. She wants to tell me, okay, this story. It's like last year. Well, this year too. But they call me Kati because they can't say Katie. And like they like to chant people's names if they like you. And so there was like a little herd of kids around me like, Kati, Kati. And it was really cute. And they do that to like a couple others that they like really like. And so it was really special. Yeah, it was sweet.
If you're comfortable and you want, put your hand toward her. Let's pray for her, okay? Father, we thank you, God, for what you have placed inside Katie. And, Father, that it is coming to fruition through her obedience to you. Yes. God, we just pray as she begins this new way of living, this new life, this new journey, God, that she would be reminded of what's been placed inside her, that it's you and you alone. And God, I just pray that she would remember, always remember, that God is for me, there's no one against me, and that you love me with all your heart, Lord. So Father, as we pray and place our hands on Katie, we pray a blessing over her. Yes. A blessing over her life, God. Father, we just pray that doors open or close in order to fulfill your will in her life, God. And Father, that she would be given wisdom to know which direction to go when they do open. Father, I just pray for Katie to not get too homesick and pray for mom and dad, because this is hard for them. But Father, we know that you're going to do great things in Katie, and so we kind of dedicate her to you because you're what she needs. And yeah. So we do place her in your hands again, Lord. We just say, God, do what you need to do in her so that the call of God can be fulfilled in her life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
I love you, God.
Lisa said, I have a word, Pastor. I'd like to share it. So today we're going to have Lisa Ballard bring the message. Thank you, Lisa.
So, man, it is so good to see all of you here. To support these moms and dads with the babies. I mean, this is wonderful. And I was blown away, honestly blown away. So welcome. We're so glad you're here. Welcome. And you're welcome when we're not dedicating a baby. You can come back then. We'll be glad to see you then. I'm going to kind of get right to the point here because there's food. Right? Is that right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, we gotta get to the food. So, so bear with me here. This morning, my message is coming out of Luke chapter 7, beginning to read in verse 36. And guys, this is not completely a chick message, okay? So I have a little something for everybody. When I was reading it, I thought, the guys are going to switch off and go, oh, that's great. Thanks for that. Okay, so anyway, verse 36, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with them, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, dun, 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 she was a sinner, sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she said, and she began to wash his feet and with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Don't you just love that? And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, Teacher, say it. Be careful what you wish for, because you might surely get it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. That's a lot of money. In that time, that's a lot of money. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell them, therefore, which of them will love him more. I'm sorry, my eyes are changing, so I'm having a little difficulty reading this. And Simon asked and said, I suppose the one who whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which were many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And today I'd like to preach or speak. I don't know. We'll see if we preach or not. I'd like to talk about Interrupted. What happened before Jesus was invited to a Pharisee? Now, a Pharisee in the Bible is a teacher. There were one of two sects. They were the dog. They were, you know, everybody. All the Jews were afraid of them. They thought they knew the Bible better than anything. They thought they were it. You ever known anybody like that? Was that just me? Okay. Anyway, so they thought they were it. But see, the one thing that I love about Jesus is that he went to their house. But where you would generally find Jesus is out with the sinners. You would find him out with people with not church folks. When I got saved, I was not a church person. But I had a praying for those of you today who had children dedicated. I didn't get saved until I was in my 20s in the military. But I had a praying grandmother who never stopped praying for me. And even nights, can I just be real? I'm hoping I'm not going to offend anybody, but I just want to be real this morning. In nights when I would be in the bars or when I would do drugs, it would just keep my grandmother's voice, the preacher, would keep pounding in my mind. And I don't know if you all know, when people tend to be inebriated, sometimes they really speak the truth. It's because they have no filter. They have no filter. But Jesus, hi, welcome. But Jesus loves sinners. Jesus would seek out sinners. Jesus would seek out people that others would not touch or go near. That's why I love Jesus so much this morning. I was filling out job applications, and we sang this morning, You're a Good, Good Father. It's who I am. It's who you are, you know, and I'm loved by you. And I thought, oh, I have to put down all my accolades, all my accomplishments. I wonder one time, just as a joke, to see what would happen, if I put the words to that song down. You know, you're good, you know, who are you? Well, I have a bachelor's degree. But what if I put in there, I'm loved by Jesus, I'm a child of God. May get the job. Don't know. May not get the job. But what happened here is Jesus was invited into these religious people's house. Because before this, Jesus pretty much, he really had some stinging words to say to those that were religious. Can I make an important distinction here? There's a difference between being religious and being and having a relationship with somebody, right? There is a difference altogether. And the problem is sometimes the water gets so murky that those that are looking for Jesus can't find him because they're tripping over people who are religious and do not have relationship. And so this morning, I want to make it very clear to you. I want to make it very clear to you that Jesus loves you. I know. Just listen to me. Just hear me out, okay? Jesus went to these Pharisees, to their house. He went in, and what the custom was during that time was for when you came to the door in the Middle East, because they walked with sandals or bare feet or whatever, it's dusty, it's sand, it's, you know, they're walking. There's no Lexus to get in. There's a camel or you're walking. That's just how it is. And so as a general custom, typically they would have a servant come and wash your feet because God only knows what you stepped in to get here. Okay. And also another thing was Jesus mentioned when he was talking to them, he talked about anointing. You never anointed my head with oil. What did that mean in the Middle East? In the Middle East, oil, they used olive oil or whatever. It was refreshing. It made your skin pliable again because you probably got fried out in the Middle Eastern sun. So it was a refresher for you. Okay, so all of those things were common courtesy when you came. These people would not give Jesus the time of day. They invited him in the house. But they invited him in the house because they were like, I'm going to find out what you're about. They wanted to grill him. And he's up for that. That's what I love about Jesus. He's up on like Donkey Kong. He was like, yeah, I'm coming to your house. I'll be right there. And what was unusual is, as he was sitting there with religious people, a sinner lady walked in. And what this means in the Bible is she was a prostitute. She was a prostitute. And according to the Old Testament, prostitutes did not come anywhere near priests, or they were considered unclean. You didn't touch anywhere. So anyway, she came right in the house, which I'm just going to throw this question out here. Those of you who think about Bible things, I wonder if she'd been in that house before, and maybe not to get a Torah lesson. I'm just saying. Could be. But she went in there, and she didn't say anything to those that looked around her judging her, and she went straight to Jesus, and she began to cry. And my point this morning, she had an alabaster box, okay? And that represented 1 year of wages. Think about yourself, you guys that are working, that have a job. 1 year of wages is what that alabaster box and the scent inside of it, it was worth that much. And so she brought it to Jesus. And what I want to talk about this morning is, what did that box represent, or that alabaster deal represent in your life? Okay, we brought babies up here and we all prayed and we all think they're cute, but we just told God that we were going to help raise these babies, right? Everybody here, we're going to help raise them in the fear of the Lord. Let me talk to you not to mom and dad so much, but let me talk to the ones that will be the support for the little ones that said, I'm behind you, mom and dad. I'm with you. I'm wondering this morning, that lady went right in, right past all the ones that were looking at her and knowing who she was. I mean, Simon even said in his heart, he said, if Jesus is such a prophet, wouldn't he know what kind of woman this is? And Jesus addressed it. I mean, knew he didn't say it. He thought it in his heart. And Jesus said, let me say something to you, Simon. You know what? You didn't offer me anything for my feet. You didn't offer me any oil for my head. But this woman, that's a sinner, came in here, dared to come in. And she took something that was so precious to her and anointed his feet. She cried. She cried so hard that she pretty much washed his feet with her tears. Now, the King of Glory deserves glory, right? And so for a woman, the Bible says that her glory, that a woman's glory is her hair. Yes. And so she took her glory and dried his feet. Okay. And that bottle, let's talk about that bottle for a minute. What did that represent to that lady? I wonder when she bought it. She probably bought it maybe to help her smell good as she did her thing, as she did her job. She was a bad girl, you know, a working girl. I wonder if she bought it for a time when she wouldn't be in that life anymore and she could wear it proudly. And I wonder, you know, you wonder why she had that bottle. Why she had that bottle. And there were people that were freaked out in that room. Like, I've never seen anything like this. I don't even know what's going on. This guy's got, I don't even know. But what happened with that is, today I want to ask you, in your life, the things that are important to you, would you put them at the feet of Jesus? Because this woman saw a need, man. And sometimes, I don't know, how many of you have ever been desperate? I'm just saying, girls don't ever, women, we don't like to ever say we're desperate. Lord have mercy. You don't ever say you're desperate when you're a female, especially a single one. That's not something you want. Desperate. That's not something you want. It's not good, right? It's not good. But in this case, what would happen if we got desperate before the Lord? What would happen if we decided, I don't care who's looking, I don't care what y'all say, I don't care, but I need help. I need a change in my life, and I need a change in my heart, and I don't know how to get it, and I don't know what to do. And all it took was her going to Jesus and just saying, she didn't even say anything. See, religious people, I was religious at one time, and then the Lord cracked me over the head, and so now we're a little better, but she didn't come in going, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, man, she went straight to Jesus, right past every snotty person that was looking down their nose at her, and she went straight to Jesus and cried. And Jesus knew in his heart, he could read her heart. It didn't matter what she did. Thank you for preaching this, by the way, when you're up there. But the answer this morning is, if we will go to Jesus, if we will go to Jesus, if we will give him the precious things, I mean, things in our heart that we've kept close. I mean, this is mine, man. I don't know. I don't know if I'm giving this up because I worked hard for this. And whatever your motive is for holding on to that thing, I'm holding on to this for a better life. I'm going to, you know, whatever. Today, I just want to ask you, and it doesn't have to be here in front of families and everything, but there's going to come a time in your life, and it may have already come, when you're going to need something. You're going to need somebody. And there's going to come a time when these little ones right here are going to need you. And the world out there already is trying to shape their body image. Oh, honey, you ain't skinny enough. I asked Galen, can I say this? Yeah, okay, I say it. I put this thing on this morning and I asked Galen, I said, do I look like two bear cubs fighting in a sack? She was like, what? No. But that's what the world will do to you, okay? They set the trends, and we've got little boy, little girl here that are coming up, and the world will do everything they can. Oh, honey, you need to get a nose job. You need to something. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Guys, we have got to go to the maker of the ones, of the one that made these girls. Psalm 139, he knew them before they were even formed. They have a purpose. That little one, I couldn't help but think, she was chewing on the microphone, and I thought, singer, preacher, she's already got a mic in her hand. I'm serious. I really thought that. It was cute. But for just one moment, I thought, singer, preacher, you don't know. God knows. God already knows. So today, they're going to need answers because the world's coming at them. Come on, you guys know, man. It's rough out there. You don't look right. You ain't driving the right car. You're not, you know, something's wrong, this, that, and the other. Where are we going to get the answers to help them? Where are we going to get the answers? Where? Cosmo? I don't know what's out there now. I mean, you know, seven tips to straighten your nose out or whatever. I don't know what it is. But guys, let me tell you, Jesus made those children, I mean, knew them before they were even part of your body. And we have to go back to him to find out how to raise them. Because I promise you, every one of us in here, I mean, there's going to be a time, and older ladies, y'all know, there'll be times when you're going to go, I'm going to run my head right through a wall right now because I don't know what to do with you. So, am I lying?
No.
And so what I'm saying is, if we stay in contact with Jesus, you might not know. But you know what? If you stay in the Word of God and you pray and you stay close to godly women who've made the mistakes before you have to make them, they can step in and say, oh, honey, you don't want to do that. But they try. You know, my mom was a single mom. She did the best she could. I never met my dad, which is probably a good thing because, you know, sometimes some people are too toxic to have in your life. I don't know who that's for, but sometimes, you know, we can grieve over relationships that have not progressed. And sometimes they're just done. I mean, they're not part of your destiny. They're not part of your thing, and God moved them on. And that's all right. That's all right. We may grieve a little while, but you know, God has a way of filling those things that are lost to us. He really does. If you'll be patient, there's coming a day. Payday is coming. I'm telling you, payday is coming. Payday is coming. It is. You just got to be faithful. And God knows exactly. Okay, so why don't he? I mean, we want it now. We want it right now, don't we? I mean, I do. I ain't gonna lie. I do. I want it now. I'm hungry. I want it now. You know, I haven't eaten in 15 minutes. I need some food now. So that's how we get. That's how we get. I want it now. But God sometimes will take his time in filling those needs in your heart because he's going to make you ready for what he's getting ready to do. Okay? This lady, she came and she poured herself out before Jesus, because she was like, man, I can't live like this anymore. I need some help, and I don't care what y'all think. And when we get to that point in our lives, and you will, all of us, we get to a point in our lives where we're just like, man, I don't know what to do. I remember walking in this church. What time is it? Okay, good. I walked in this church, and I had met Gaylene before for a couple Bible studies. This was 2002. And I had blown out huge. We had served the Lord, but not going into all that. I blew out huge. My husband and I just, you know. And we stopped serving the Lord. And so I remembered this the other night. I had a dream before I ever knew what I was seeing. And it was a billboard. I was coming over. This is a dream. You know how dreams are weird. I was coming over Knob Hill, you know, over the bridge. And there was a billboard that had the pastor at that time had his picture up there. And I didn't know anything about it. I forgot this. And then I ended up here. I didn't even know. And so I came the first time, and actually Pastor Mike preached, and I was sitting, I was over here at first, had my boots on, you know, came in here rough as a cob, ready to throw down with somebody, and so I actually, if you want to know the truth, I actually probably came to throw down with God, because I was still angry at him over some things. I don't know if you're angry at God this morning about some stuff, but he can fix it. I'm not going to stand here and blow sunshine, because let's face it, there are times in our lives when things go bad and we get tempted to be bitter at God. I don't know this morning where you're at or how you feel, but sometimes we do. We get mad at God, and sometimes we don't even realize it. And so I was mad at God. I was mad because I thought I should have all of this, that, and the other thing. And so we left, and we blew out huge. And when I say blew out huge, you don't even want to know. I blew out huge. Ugh. And so anyway, I came in the church, and Pastor Mike was preaching. And so I got up to leave, to walk out. Church was done. I was like, all right, I did my thing. And I was walking out. Because I didn't want, God forbid, I should stand and talk to somebody. I mean, it was like, to get out the door. Yes. But when I got to the back doors, I felt God say, if you leave, you won't be back. And what God was telling me was, I know your heart. And I know that if you leave without making peace with me, we may not meet again. So I whipped around. And I didn't know anybody. And I found, I was like, well, I sort of know her. So she sat down. I said, man, I need some help. And she prayed with me. And she said, I'm a children's pastor, so I'm going to pray with you like a child. And thank God. No, I didn't need fancy words. I needed somebody to sit down with me and say, God, forgive me. This woman didn't even speak. And Jesus knew. That's what I'm saying. We think we have to do, you know, stand on our head, and we have to look a certain way, and we have to, and you don't even know that Jesus goes after the sinner. He goes after the one out in the club. I know that because he did that to me. He goes after the one that is lost and is hidden away. And that if I keep my pretty face on every day, nobody will know how I actually am or how I actually feel. You know, I smile real pretty. God bless you. How are you today? I'm blessed. Be real. How are you today? Well, I had a hard time this morning, if you want to know the truth about it. And actually, I'm in the biggest battle in my life, and I really need you to pray for me. Will you do that? Thanks. Okay, so if we're real, and that's all that Jesus wants today, is real. He wants you just the way you are. He wants you with all your flaws. He wants you. He does not want your religious face. He wants you. He knows you. You may not even know you as well as Jesus does. Jesus made you, and he knows you this morning. So I just want to throw out, I don't know why this lady had this, what her intention was with this alabaster box or whatever it was that she had, but it was worth a lot of money. And I don't know if the intention was, I'm going to wear it to do my job so the stench of my sin doesn't bother me, or I'm going to save it for a time when maybe I'll get out of this life and I can walk around and maybe be worthy enough to wear this. This morning, I just want you to think about that. Can we take the walls down? Can we just take the walls down for a minute and just look at Jesus and just say, man, I need some help. I need some help. And we don't have to cry out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I need thee every hour. If that's how you want to pray, great. But if you just need help this morning, bring your heart and the things that you keep so close to you for whatever reason, and you pour them out and you just put them at the feet of Jesus and just say, you know what? This is what I have. This is me. I don't have anything else. And that's what he wants. He's not looking for a big check in the little box up here. By the way, if you want to pay tithe right there, there it is. But he's not looking for money. He's not looking for how beautiful you are. He's not looking for if you have the right connections. He's not looking for if you have the right job. That's not what Jesus cares about this morning. He loves you today, and he cares about every little flaw. He cares about everything that's tormented you. Some of you guys are sitting here, and you have had guilt about things in your own life. I mean, you're just like, ooh. How many of you have ever been like, man, I wish I hadn't done that? Here, I'll raise my hand if nobody else is. Girls, you know, I wish I hadn't given him my number. You know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, let's be real. And things that we wish, 2020's awesome. And you look back at your life and you wish you hadn't done it, and there are no take backs. But can I tell you this morning that Jesus died on the cross? Okay, some of this message, some of you could probably go, blah, 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 blah. I've heard it my whole life. This morning, I'm asking you to hear it with your heart and not your ears, okay? Jesus died on a cross, okay? And he paid for your sins. He didn't sin. He did not sin. I want you to think about that for a minute. Jesus was nailed to a cross, and God the Father looked away from him because God couldn't look at him because he was bearing our sins. He became sin for us, right? And what that means is he paid for all of the sin of everybody in the past. He paid for all of the sin of the people right then. He paid for all of the sin for those in the future. He paid for all of it. And how do I know? I don't have charts and graphs, and I'm horrible at math. I have to take my shoes off to use my toes. It's horrible. But I'm not any good at math. But I think that adds up to a lot of people that Jesus has forgiven, that Jesus has paid for. And today, some of us, we hold on to things. And how many of you, you don't have to answer this, please don't raise your hand, but you have a bill that's hanging over your head, maybe robbing you of some sleep. But what if you found out that it was already paid for? But that's how we live, right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is going through my heart, so I'm just thinking somebody is thinking this. I just want to let you know, Jesus is not disgusted with your sin. God is not disgusted with your sin. We get this persona, and sometimes I've heard this persona, that we're just dirty, rotten sinners. No, he hurts for our sin. I mean, he was so not disgusted with our sin that he became it so that it would finally die in us. So don't think that you, like Gay was saying earlier, don't think you've done something that God is ready to throw you out with the bathwater because it's gotten so dirty. You can't get dirty enough to keep God from loving you. So just when she's sharing here, realize that you're not being rejected and now you're just seeing if you can crawl back to somebody. No, you're running to somebody that's waiting with wide open arms, wanting to love you in an embrace that will really heal your heart.
That's right. Good. Yes. What he said. So this morning, as he said, you don't have to be disgusted. He's not disgusted with your sin. And you're not a surprise to him. You're not a surprise to him. I think sometimes we think we're a big surprise, like God went, no! We think that. But you know what? You're not a surprise to God. He knew the mistakes you would make. Loves us anyway. Doesn't matter. He knew your successes and rejoices in them. He knows all about you. It doesn't matter. He knows all about you this morning. And this lady, no matter whatever she's done or however many years she did it, it didn't matter because all it took was one moment in the presence of the Savior and she was saved. And he said, your faith has saved you. You're saved. Walk away. And that is how simple it is. In this world, you have to work hard to get something, right? Jesus did the work for us. He did. Jesus did the work for us. Jesus loves you this morning. He paid the debt for you. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows the future. It's not a mystery to him. He knows your past. He didn't care. He doesn't care. It's cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Now, if we can get our own brains to catch up with that, we tend to hold the things of the past, even when Jesus has already forgiven us. But it's washed away. You know what? There's one color. There is one color that matters. It's red. It's the blood of Jesus. That's the color that matters this morning, that can wash us and save us and cleanse us and cleanse our minds and cleanse our hearts. I can't bring out a chart or something and give you an equation about how it works. The only thing that I can do is tell you that once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was like that lady that came in before Jesus. I was a sinner. I didn't grow up in church. I was a sinner real sinner. And he found me and he loves me. And so this morning, doesn't matter where you're at, doesn't matter what you've done, he loves you. No, excuse me, not disgusted with you. He paid for your sin. He paid so that you could live life in that more abundantly. So those of you who have agreed to help raise these little ones, this is for you this morning, because there's going to come a time when they're going to need your help. And if we stay close to Jesus, we will get the right answer for them. We will be able to support mom, dad. We'll be able to support the babies the right way and raise them up the right way. And that's just the way it is. And will everything be perfect? No. There's going to be bumps. But Jesus, the good news is Jesus is there. Amen. He walks through the valley of the shadow of death with us. He walks through every bleep, blunder. He's there. He just is. And the proof that I can give you is I know it because he's done it for me. So that's it this morning.
So there's another little story that tags onto that. I've told it before, but if you've heard it, I'm sorry. But it was a couple days later, and she was in the town walking, the woman, and that aroma of the alabaster box oil, that aroma, she smelled it again, and she's like, it's not on my hands, you know, because I've washed, but she smelled the smell of that fragrance. And so she ran, and it got stronger and stronger as she ran, and she thought, it's Jesus. It's my Lord. You know, she was so excited she was going to get to see him again. But when she turned the corner, it was one of the other men that was in the room. He carried the fragrance, and we carry the fragrance. And we need to remember that fragrance, people, they're drawn to that. They really are. And we just need to remember that God, even though he gives us such a great responsibility, he also gives us, he equips us so well. He's so good. He's a good, good father. And we just want you guys to be encouraged today and just to remember today, God loves you so much. He planned today for you to be here. I mean, he's not surprised by one person sitting in here. He planned it that way. So know that you're loved by him so deeply, so strongly. Amen? So let's pray, and we're going to go downstairs. Father, we thank you for today. God, we just put in your hands this service. Pray, Lord, that your word would not return void, but it would accomplish everything it's been sent out to do. Father, we pray for each heart and ear that is here to hear. Father, we pray blessing on them, God. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Father, that they would be able to just do what is the right thing to do, God, and just call upon your name. Father, we thank you for these two precious women with these two precious babies and families. God, we pray your blessing over the whole family, God. We thank you, God, because we get to be a part of that. And we're honored, Lord. We are so honored. So bless Sandra. Bless Mimi's, bless those sweet babies, and Lord, help us all to remember it's family. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks so much for coming.
Bless the food we're about to eat. Amen.